98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo starts now.
Straight up 2 o'clock on this Wednesday afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome into today's edition of the Burns and Gambo Show. Here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, we are live from the Auction Community Studios. My name is Dave Burns, alongside the one, the only, John Gambadoro. Hi, Gambo.
Burnsy, what's going on?
Well, a lot of concerned listeners, a lot of concerned co-hosts, colleagues.
Ooh, okay. Here.
Oh, no, they're concerned about you, Gambo. They're a little...
Me?
Well, you yesterday, this time... Man, we didn't even play the, you know, let's weigh in on our top story of the day sounder before you kind of lost your mind. And I've had some people reach out. I just want to make sure you're doing okay.
Well, listen, I'm happy to know that people are concerned about me like that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I always have the pillbox.
You have a
right in front of me. Never leaves my side. Never leaves my side. It's with me at all times.
A defibrillator there in the room with you?
You know what? I really want a defibrillator.
You really get one.
I told my daughter that the other day. I'm like, I really want a defibrillator. Like, I think we should have one in the house, just in case.
Your daughter is.
But then I picture my wife, and there she is, and she's probably going to contemplate.
Careful.
Do I use it? Do I not use it? Do I use it? Hold on. This is a tough decision here.
Your wife would totally use it on you.
You're going to be 60. I'm going to be 38. What life insurance up to date?
Hold on. I'm trying to decide here.
Trying to decide. Like I just, you know.
This is a personal record. We're 3 minutes into the show, and I already feel like I need a shower.
I'm teasing.
I swear, like I never feel like I need a shower this soon into the show. Usually, I'm totally teasing.
Like, you know, Chelsea's the most amazing person
wonderful.
In the entire world. Amazing.
She will absolutely shock your heart back
absolutely.
Into life if
absolutely.
It's required of her.
She, for some reason, unbeknownst to anybody in this world, she totally loves me. And I don't know why, but she does.
All right.
I will tell you, listen, I started a new show last night. I just got to tell you this, and I really like it. It's called Archive 81 on Netflix.
Not heard of it.
It is very much like The Shining.
Oh wow! Okay.
An archivist takes a job restoring damaged videotapes and gets pulled into the vortex of a mystery involving the missing director and a demonic cult. It's The Shining. It's totally The Shining. And we watched I highly recommend Archive 81. There you go. There's my
81.
Story.
Okay,
Archive
so
81 on Netflix.
TV recommendations and cleansing showers aside, now we weigh in on our top story of the day here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Burns and Gambo, the weigh-in. Brought to you by Revitalize Weight Loss.
All right, here's what we're weighing in on. And just because we're one day further removed from the Cardinal season ending does not mean that we're done talking about the Cardinal season ending. Because there's a lot of loose ends that we kind of need to sew up for the Cardinals. And I expect we're going to be doing a lot of this offseason, sewing up some loose ends and kind of figuring out sort of what's next. In fact, I think looking at today's show sheet, a lot of today's show is dedicated to this idea of what's next and where does this go from here and what happens this offseason. And while there are many boxes to check, Gambo, I think the biggest one that most of us just assumed was going to happen, and now I think most of us assume is not going to happen, is the Kyler Murray contract extension. That would seem to be, at least perceptually, off the table based off of how he performed in that game on Monday night. I don't hear a lot of Cardinal fans clamoring for that to be near the top of the Cardinals' to-do list this offseason.
You know, yes. I had a thought last night. And just tell me what you think of this.
Okay.
Could you buy low right now? Could you buy low? The guy played terrible in the last playoff game. There's doubts galore about him. Could you get him on a cheaper deal? It was a thought that I had. I don't know what hit me, but I thought to myself, could you get him on a Derek Carr-like deal instead of paying him? What if you could? What if Kyler and his agent are like, you know, I don't know. Maybe you're not a 40. Maybe you're not Josh Allen. You know, what if they offered you $25 million a year? Do you turn it down? I mean, it was a thought I had. I have no indication whether he would take it or not, but could you buy low right now? His stock is low. He's not getting $40 million from the Cardinals right now. I don't see it. But what if they offered him a Derek Carr type 5 years, $125 million? Does he turn it down and say, I'm going to prove myself next year and I'm going to get $40 million a year? Or does he take the chance and walk away from $125 million, where if he has a bad year next year, people are going to say, well, what, is he going to go to baseball?
Yeah, I was not prepared to answer this question.
I know. It wasn't my email. It wasn't my email. Just the thought I had.
So I guess I was a little prepared to answer this question. I just didn't know we were going to come right out of the gates with it. So
sorry. My apologies.
Oh, no, that's fine. That's fine. So I'll tell you this. I think that it, you know what? Like a lot of things in life, it doesn't hurt to ask, right? What's the worst they're going to say? No. And like a lot of things in life, you know, that's one of my pieces of advice I would give to anybody out there. It doesn't hurt to ask. You know, you want that giant raise from your boss? Doesn't hurt to ask. Chances are he or she's going to tell you no, but go in and ask, right? You want to ask that girl out on a date? You want to ask that guy out on a date? Go ask him out on a date. What's the worst they're going to do? Say no?
No, right. You know, I mean, DeAndre Ayton. Right. I mean, you know, did they try to get DeAndre Ayton for less than a max?
I'm sure of it, right? But it's a two-way street when it comes to this hypothetical that you've posed. And if I'm Kyler Murray, well, I don't know. I don't want to say what I would do if I were Kyler Murray, because somebody offers me $125 million, chances are I'm probably jumping at it. I would guess Kyler Murray would turn that down. I would guess Kyler Murray would, much like DeAndre Ayton did, to the example you just brought up a second ago, I would guess that Kyler Murray, now, whether he should or shouldn't, that's something we can debate. My best guess would be that Kyler Murray would bet on himself, just like DeAndre Ayton bet on himself, and he'd say, no, I'll pass. I'd rather have the max because, you know,
I believe in myself. I trust in myself. Sure. I'm going to play better.
Kind of like we saw with Ayton, was it safe to say that we kind of felt like Ayton might have been insulted to a certain extent by, wait, you don't think I'm a max player? You don't think I'm worth the maximum amount of dollars you can give me? He never said he was insulted, but there was a lot about what he said that led many to believe he was. And I believe Kyler would probably feel the same way about that.
First eight games of the season, he played like an MVP. Last half of the season, he played like a very mediocre to bad quarterback. Mediocre to bad. Sometimes he was mediocre. Sometimes he was bad. Never was he great. First half of the season, eight games, MVP. Second half of the season, nine games plus playoffs. Mediocre was his best. Bad happened several times. So that's, you know, so now you got to judge that. I mean, you got to judge that. But here's a guy that's been to two straight Pro Bowls. I would imagine that he wants nothing less than a Patrick Mahomes type deal. That's what I would imagine, that he's going to, if you offer him Patrick Mahomes, he takes it. If you don't, then he'll wait it out.
So you would agree then that you think he would probably say no to such a thing?
I do, but I don't think there's anything wrong with asking. Like I was just saying, I wonder if you could you buy low? His stock is low. That stock is low right now. Do you purchase that stock low? And again, maybe it's not for sale low, but I at least say, listen, we're open to doing a deal right now. We're looking at $25 million a year for 5 years.
Yeah, I would bet that ends up, because the Cardinals are in a position of control here with Kyler Murray. I know this is the first offseason they're able to give him a contract extension. That does not mean they have to give him a contract extension this offseason. Yeah. And maybe he went into it thinking this was going to be the offseason he got the contract extension. But the Cards are in a position of power here where he's already under contract for next year. Sometime this offseason, I can't remember if it's March, I can't remember if it's May, they can pick up the fifth-year option on his contract.
Right. They're in no rush.
So they've got 2 years of ultimate control with him.
They don't
have
to do anything right now. Patrick Mahomes got $503 million over 10 years.
Well,
$50 million a year. Murray's not. He didn't put himself in a position to even talk about that contract.
No, not even close.
Yeah.
I mean, not even close. It was funny. I was listening to Wolf and Luke talk about this when I was driving in, and I wonder how differently we would all feel about this. I wonder how prevalent of a topic this would be if Kyler had even played just okay on Monday night, right? Like, let's say Kyler Murray has a typical second half of the season Kyler Murray game for him from 2021, where he wasn't great, but he wasn't awful either. Is this even a narrative? Is this even a talking point? If Kyler Murray has a game on Monday like he had against Dallas a couple of weeks ago, or like he had against, you know, the Rams on Monday Night Football, those were okay performances. He wasn't awful. I mean, he had two interceptions against him. But you know what I'm saying? But because he was so dreadful, so off the charts bad on Monday, I think that's what has pushed this narrative to the forefront that, hey, yeah, dude, you're not getting your contract extension. Where if he had just been garden variety mediocre on Monday night, do you think we'd still be talking about Kyler Murray and his contract extension like nothing had ever happened?
I think if he would have had a great game, I think it would have erased the second half of the season in which he was mediocre to bad.
100% agree.
Great game.
100%.
Then it would have been like, oh, man, he just led the Cardinals to a win. So I think it would erase that. Okay, look, he's still great. Look what he did. He led them to a victory. He was fantastic. He threw for three touchdowns. He ran for a touchdown. So I think it would have erased the second half of the season. Now, if he would have just had an okay game, you know, two touchdowns, two interceptions, and, you know, then I still think they're in a wait-and-see mode. They have this year, and they've got a fifth-year option. They don't have to do anything right now. I don't expect that they'll do anything right now. I do not expect that they will do anything.
So you think if he's even just okay on Monday night, we'd still be pushing the pause button on the Kyler extension talk?
I think so.
Listen, you know me.
I mean, I was one of those guys, you know, saying this guy's going to get $40 million a year. But I just think the first eight games, MVP, the second half of the season, you know.
Yeah.
Again, nothing was good. Nothing was great. It was mediocre to bad the second half of the season.
All right, when we come back on the Burns and Gambo show here on this Wednesday afternoon, as we say, we are tying up a lot of loose ends. And what we're finding is that it's just going to lead to more questions about what's going to happen this offseason. And certainly among them, free agency, cap space, decisions for the Cardinals. A lot of questions to answer about who's back and who's not. We'll try to answer some of them coming up on the Burns and Gambo show.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo, afternoons.
I hope so. There's some guys that have earned some nice paydays, you know, at the end of this deal. And you know, that's what you want for all your players, for them to be successful. But I feel like we're in a good position to do that.
Cliff Kingsbury talking about the guys that he would like to bring back. Of course, he didn't name names. He wasn't very specific, as we welcome you back into the Burns and Gambo show here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station, because he probably doesn't want to pick and choose one guy over another or prioritize one guy over another. He loves his guys. He wants all of them to be back. But Gambo, if there's one thing that we've learned in all the years that we've been doing this, and certainly Cardinal fans, football fans, they know what I'm about to say, you can't bring everybody back. You're just not going to be able to afford to bring everybody back. And while there are some decisions that are easier than others, there are obviously some very difficult decisions, especially when you consider that, yeah, while the cap goes up next year, man, there are four key guys on this roster whose cap number takes a big, big jump next year. And other than restructuring those deals, there's not a whole lot you can do about that if you're the Cards.
Yeah, and I don't know that any, you know, maybe you can restructure a few deals here and there, but I think you're going to bite the bullet on those four, and I think you're going to have to find cap savings elsewhere. But you could go through it because, you know, the numbers are pretty
stark.
Stark would be a good word for it. The numbers are pretty stark on those four players.
With a tip of the cap to Kyle Odegaard, he was the one who first pointed this out on Twitter yesterday, and I went back and looked at overthecap.com and found a couple of other guys as well. But these are your big four, and they're back on the roster next year, non-negotiable. DeAndre Hopkins goes from a $12.5 million cap hit to a $25 million cap hit. So he's 10 more next year.
Yeah, you know, that's a big number that you might say, can we renegotiate? I mean, I would try. I would absolutely try to get that cap number down a little bit. You know, if you add a year on, you convert some money. I mean, it's got to be something you can do. And I don't know the ins and outs of the restructuring and how that works, but I'll try and find out. But I would think that you absolutely start there, and that's a big number, and try to get that number down.
J.J. Watt goes, and we knew this one was coming because we knew there was a big-time kick-the-can-down-the-road kind of element when they signed him.
Yeah.
He goes from a $5 million cap hit this past season to a $16 million cap hit next year, an increase of $11 million, 15.9 to be exact. But that's a big jump for JJ.
Yeah, and it's always, I said this all along, it's always been a two-year commitment for JJ. It's always been a two-year commitment. There was never he's here this year, and then you cut him and you get out of it. By signing him, they committed to him for 2 years.
Buddha goes from 7.8 to 14.8, so he jumps $7 million from 1 year to the next. And then Rodney Hudson, your all-everything center, whom you love, And not, I don't mean just you, John Gamadora. I mean whom we all love because of what he's done for the team. He goes from a $3 million cap hit to a $12.5 million cap hit. So he jumps by 8.5.
That's about $68 million on those four players.
Yep.
So you got 25.1, 15.9. I got the calculator here. 14.8.
You hear the buttons clacking from here.
$68.4 million.
Yeah.
$68.4 million for those four players. Like, you're trying to figure out a way, can I get that under 50? Can I restructure? Can I get that under 50? Now, you know, this might be a year. You know, there are people who think that, you know, the Cardinals were all in, and this was, you know, this was their year. The 2021 was, I think Blake Allen Murphy had said it, 2021 was their year. There are always ways. You start with Hopkins, and you try to redo that deal a little bit, guarantee him some extra money, and find a way to make that deal work where you can get that number down. I don't know where you start, but I would probably start with him, and I would see if I could turn that $68.4 million, turn that into about 50.
It is ultimately pushing, you know, at some point you're going to have to pay the price, right? And you're just kind of kicking it down the road a little bit, and that's what every GM does. You look at I was on overthecap.com today looking at the guys for whom there was dead money on this year's cap, guys who had the can kicked a little bit from one year to the next. And some of the names were kind of shocking for the guys who were accounting for dead cap money. But that's that you, and you never want to have too much of that, because that obviously that means you made mistakes. That means you choose the wrong guys. That means you've got dead money on your cap. There are others too, but these guys, I'm not so sure if they're going to be around next year. Devon Kennard goes from 6.2 to 9.1.
Gone.
Jordan Phillips goes from 6.8 to 13.3.
Gone.
Now, if he's gone, that's 9.2 in dead money. All right? So that's $9 million in dead money next year if he's gone. You save yourself about $4 million in cap space. But just understand, by making him gone, that's $9 million against your cap next year for a player who's going to be somewhere else. I know, but that's Jordan Hicks. He goes from 5.9 to 9.5.
Gone.
$3 million in dead money. Kennard is 4.2 in dead money, by the way, if he goes away, since we mentioned him. So there's
there's dates, right, where that money gets split out over more years.
Yeah,
right?
But it's still ultimately going to, at some point, going to count against your cap somewhere down the road. Now, the cap does go up next year.
By
right?
$25 million, bucks, I think, right?
I think is what I read. And then we haven't even discussed, so let's do it. Let's talk about, and this is going to be our poll question in 5 minutes, 10 minutes. So we'll kind of lead into the unveiling of our poll question today. The Chandler Joneses and the Christian Kirks and the James Conners and the Chase Edmonds and the Zach Ertz and the guys that, you know, Cliff was kind of referring to when he said, hey, yeah, we'd love to bring everybody back. They're not going to be able to bring everybody back. And I do wonder who some of the hard decisions are going to be for this team free agency-wise.
I would say just doing some homework today and just checking. Chandler Jones, I think, is gone. I like him, but look at Justin Pugh's contract. There's some money to be saved there. Now, you could also go to some of these guys and say, would you take less to play? You know, I'm not going to pay you $10 million. Would you play for $4 million? So you could always do that as well. You know, that he may, you know, you might find a player that says, look, I'd rather play here for $4 million than hit free agency at my age and, you know, see if I can get a deal. But I think Chandler's gone. I think Justin Pugh is, unless you could restructure it and get him at a lower number, he might be gone. Max Garcia is gone. I love Chase, but I think they'll let him test the market and see what's out there. I think A.J. Green is gone. Alford's gone. I think Jordan Phillips. There is money to be saved there, but that's a big dead, because that was a 3-year contract. That's a big number. And then I think you try to keep, you know, I think you try to keep Kirk, but I think it all depends. I think you try to keep James Conner. I think you try to keep Zach Ertz. But there are definitely guys, several guys that are bigger money guys that I could see gone.
Yeah, and Darren Urban wrote a little bit about this on azcardinals.com, and he points out that free agency, the big date to circle, is March 16th. Up until that moment, teams can re-sign their own guys. So there's, you know, you've got about a 2-month window here, a little less than 2 months, where you can sign your own guys, re-sign your own guys if you want. I do think we talked a little bit about this yesterday. The two guys that I'm kind of the most interested in, just to see what happens with them, are Chase and are Christian. And the reason why I'm singling those two guys out above all others, those are Steve Keim draft picks. And this organization has been a little on the light side when it has come to giving Steve Keim draft picks second contracts. There haven't been a lot of them. There haven't been a lot of guys who've been worthy of second contracts. And I do wonder, not that you're going to put extra emphasis on keeping guys that you drafted, but you've always said that is the sign of a successful draft pick.
No doubt.
When you want to sign the guy to a second contract. And I wonder, now again, not extra emphasis, but those are two guys, because they're Cardinal picks, will there be even the slightest bit of extra emphasis on keeping guys that you drafted and that you born and you raised, sort of thing?
Yeah, I mean, you'd like to. I mean, but I think it depends. Like, I like Chase a lot. I think he's a very good player, but he's had injury concerns to the point where, listen, go test the market and then let me know. And if, now, if nobody wants to pay him, well, then you've got control, right? If nobody says, look, I want to give Chase Edmonds a good contract, you know, he comes back and you get him for a little bit over the minimum. You get him for a fair deal and you say, okay, I'll take that. I think with Christian Kirk, it may be similar too. Look, if somebody wants to pay you $12 million, $13 million a year, I probably can't bring you back. But if nobody wants to pay you that and I can get you at a lower rate, then I'll bring you. So I think there are guys that they want back, but, like, you know, it's like your phrase with you playing at a certain table. If there are certain teams that are playing with Christian Kirk and Chase Edmonds at the, you know, the $100 table,
the high roller room or something,
yeah,
like
and,
that.
And, yeah, you know, and you want to play at the $20 table, like, yeah, you know, if there's no seats available at the $100 table and he's got to come play at the $20 table, you're in.
Yeah.
But if not, you're out.
When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, you lose like the Cardinals did on Monday Night Football in the playoffs, and you're going to just expect the national media talk. You're going to become a target. And over the last 24 hours, boy, was Cliff Kingsbury a target. That's coming up next on the Burns and Gambo show.
The Burns and Gambo Need to Know Twitter poll, presented by Sanderson Ford.
All right, Eric is here with us with our Twitter poll question of the day. We promised this would have to do with free agency as soon as we hit send. What was it? Don't press send, right? Is that the advice they give the young kids out there? Don't press send. Think about it. We should have thought about it a little more, because one guy is running away with this, and we probably should have revamped the question a little bit so one guy wasn't
running away
with it.
It happens. It happens. When we're talking about it, you know, you kind of like to talk yourself into the poll question. So when I ask you guys the question, I'm going to say you can't pick him. And Gambo, you're going to know exactly who I'm talking about when I say him. So the question is, okay, the Cardinals won't be able to retain everyone this offseason. Which of these free agents are you most comfortable letting walk? Now,
you
the
can't
options
pick
are
him.
Chandler Jones, Christian Kirk, Chase Edmonds, and Zach Ertz. And then we also threw in a fifth option. Go ahead and like this tweet if you're comfortable letting James Conner walk. So excluding him, who are you most comfortable letting walk this
offseason? I'm going to let the troll walk.
Well, we just
besides
said,
him.
You can't pick him. We just said you can't pick him.
Why can't I pick the troll?
I mean, you can, but who would be your second pick?
We know that's who you would pick. That's the one.
But
where
it's not personal. I would honestly let him go the most.
I'm not accusing it. I just know that's how you would answer the question. That's what we're regretting, because he's running away with this thing right now. So who else would you pick if you can't pick him?
Chase.
Give me the option.
Especially
again,
if I'm bringing back James.
Ertz, Edmonds, Kirk.
I want to bring back, I mean, I like all three of them, but I really like Zach Ertz. I'd like to bring Zach Ertz back. I think he's a good football player.
Yeah.
I do like Kirk. You know,
I know
Kirk.
You do. I know you do.
It's and a
I
tough
know,
one.
I know you like this. It's and that's why I wish we had left Chandler Jones out of the equation. Nothing against Chandler. I think if it feels like a lot of fans kind of echo your sentiment, Gambo. That it's personal.
It's just no good anymore.
Just kind of run its course, right?
It's not that good anymore. Yeah. You don't impact the game.
You don't even
notice you're out there, to be honest. And they run right at you. He's just not that. He's not that good.
I would vote for Chandler, but if I had to pick somebody else, it's right down the middle between Chase and Zach Ertz, and I would probably choose Chase.
Listen, if he spent more time watching game film and getting ready for the game instead of like worrying about what people said about him on social media and trying to check out my wife,
he should have not pressed send.
He might be a better player.
Oh boy,
should have just not pressed send. Got to follow that advice.
What's the audience say on this one?
Audience, okay. Well, let's get it out of the way. Chandler Jones, 46.7%. We've been teasing that. It's a close race for second and third place, though. In second place, Christian Kirk at 21.6%. Third place, Chase Edmonds at 20%, and then Zach Ertz in last at 11.7%. For what it's worth, 17 likes on the tweet. So 17 people would be okay with him.
17
with James Conner walking.
With James Conner walking. Okay, because we just wanted to get that fifth one in there. Christian Kirk, interesting. Of the non-Chandler Jones guys, Christian Kirk is the one who's leading that poll question. For what it's worth, since we were talking about free agency, Darren Urban just sent out a link. And we'll probably talk more about this over the course of this day and maybe even tomorrow. 2022 NFL free agency rankings, the running backs. They've got James Conner listed as the third best running back in free agency. Chase Edmonds listed as the fourth best running back in free agency.
Wow.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Cordarrelle Patterson is number one. Leonard Fournette is number two. Conner is number three. Chase Edmonds is number four.
Man. Well, I'd like to do some homework and see who were the top five guys last year and what did they get paid.
Ah, that's good. Okay.
I'd like to do that.
That is something we can work on. Stephen A. Smith today was working on Cliff Kingsbury hard.
No matter what job you did and no matter what props I'll give you, you never deserved the job. On the collegiate level, what did you do? You were average. You went to a bowl game a couple of times in 6 years, okay? You didn't have a winning record in your time in college, yet you the golden boy that just leapfrogs over a whole bunch of white and black coaches in the National Football League that were far more deserving of the opportunity, that had at least their resume tells us they could have done a better job with a Kyler Murray, and somehow you get that job. And y'all nosedive like this. So I think last night, to some degree, was chickens coming home to roost, because I think if you had a better coach, they would have been better prepared. Kyler Murray wouldn't have looked as awful. Maybe A.J. Green would have had a catch. Maybe Zach Ertz would have been utilized well enough to have more than three catches for 21 yards, okay? And we'd be looking at a team that was far more competitive than they were last night.
I mean, it's fair. I mean, it's not – I mean, I can't go off on that. I mean, they weren't competitive. They got blown out. There's a lot of – you know, there are doubts about Cliff. There are people that think that, you know, that – and listen, this will always be the case, that he jumped the line and he shouldn't have got the job and he didn't deserve it and, you know, he didn't go through the proper – channels, not the channels.
No, but,
you know,
the pecking order, right?
Yeah, it was, he didn't earn it.
He cut in line. There are a lot of people in the industry who think he cut his place in line.
He didn't pay his dues, right? He didn't pay his dues to be a head coach. But there are people out there, and I've talked to NFL people that feel that, you know, that Kyler needs someone that's more demanding. That, you know, Cliff is not the long-term solution. That he's better to be a coordinator or even just a quarterback's coach. But he's not demanding enough as a head coach. Now, listen, you grow, you mature, you learn, you get better. I mean, you redefine yourself every year, too. But again, in some points, you are who you are. I mean, you're not going to go from this light-talking guy to all of a sudden I'm going to start breaking chairs and I'm gonna bang my fist on tables and I'm going to raise my voice to a... I mean, if that's not him, that's not him. But, like, you know, listen, 3 wins to 5 wins to 8 wins to 11 wins. Okay, that's it. He's not getting fired. He's not probably not getting a contract extension. But I really don't think he's going to get fired. If he was going to get fired, I think it would have happened already. They're doing exit interviews all day today. So today is exit interviews. They're just going to meet with everybody. They're going to all day long. I mean, all day it's just exit interviews. I don't think anybody's getting fired. But I understand the people that didn't like the hire of Cliff. They've got a mountain to climb on right now, right? Yeah. They've got it.
No,
there it
do.
Is.
They do. They've got
yeah.
And,
see, I told
and Stephen
you.
A has and there are others too. I mean, Keyshawn Johnson weighed in on Kingsbury and how he needs to figure out his issues.
I would say he needs to figure it out. He figured out how to show his house during the draft. Ooh. He needs to figure out how to fix what their problems are. late in the seasons. I mean, he needs to figure it out. That's why you have scouts. That's why you have advanced scouting, and you do self-checking, self-evaluations in the offseason.
And I, look, I will say this. We made the case yesterday about Cliff, and you're right. You go from 3 to 5 to 8 to 11. Man, it's and when you've had, as infrequently as it is for the Cardinals organization, A, to have an 11-win season, and B, to get into the playoffs, because it doesn't happen around here very often with this organization, you tend to celebrate those guys and not push those guys towards the door. But when it comes to Cliff, I will say that there does seem to be a real kind of lack of discipline that bleeds down to the team, that when it comes to the penalties, that it seems like there's a loss of focus all the time. I do wonder myself if there was somebody who was a little harder on Kyler and maybe a little more demanding of Kyler, would that get a different result out of Kyler? And I think more than anything, when they lost DeAndre Hopkins, and I'm not trying to minimize this for a second, man, there did not seem to be much of a counterpunch from Cliff about, okay, how do I restructure this offense now when I don't have DeAndre Hopkins? It was kind of like the example Luke used yesterday when we were on doing our crosstalk with him. You get a flat tire on the side of the road, you don't just stand there, throw your arms up in the air and go, okay, life stops, I've got a flat tire. You fix it. You change the tire. You call somebody who can come fix it for you. You do whatever it is to make sure that life goes on. And I kind of felt like without Hopkins, they never really had a plan B or a plan C or a counterpunch.
Right.
And there's
100% right.
That lack of adjustment to me is one of the things that's got me very leery about Cliff Kingsbury moving forward. Because, man, he had half of the season to figure out.
Isn't that what we said? Like, as we look before the Rams game, like, you know, it's not like Hopkins got hurt in the last game of the season, and now you're saying, okay, what do I do?
Yeah.
Like, he got hurt a long time ago. Figure it out. Like, you didn't figure it out.
Yep.
Like, you did not figure it out. And, you know, and Kyler dropping back to pass, thinking he's got all day to throw with that pass rush, and not, you know, not the 1-2 step. Like I always say this, Kurt Warner would have carved that defense up because,
sure,
you know, you want to come at me, I'm going to hit the quick slants. You got to get to the line of scrimmage with a great pass rush, and you got to know where you're going with the ball. You got to look at the defense. You got to read it. You got to see what your hot read is, and you know, you've got to be like 1-2, and I'm going to get rid of it. And that just wasn't Kyler. Kyler wasn't looking to, you know, hit those quick slants and make them pay. You know, and you're not going to, against that pass rush, you're not going to drop back and think that you've got 5 seconds to throw the football, because you don't.
The golf tournament hailed as the People's Open returns to the TPC Scottsdale as the Waste Management Phoenix Open tees off on February 7th, runs through February 13th. Head to the contest page at arizonasports.com right now. Your chance to win tickets, plus one lucky winner will win greenskeeper passes. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, one was a first-round pick this past year, one was a first-round pick the year before. Neither one played a whole lot on Monday night against the Rams. Why? We'll talk about that next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo, afternoons.
We are going to completely switch gears coming up in about 11 minutes. So we're going to talk Phoenix Suns basketball with our guy Kellen Olson, our Round Ball Roundtable, a weekly feature, a weekly staple here on the Burns and Gambo show, where for two segments we just talk Suns basketball. And quite frankly, Gambo, I don't know about the audience. I'm looking forward to changing up things a little bit and talking about the team with the best record in the NBA.
Let's go.
Instead of a team that just lost on Monday Night Football in the playoffs. So we'll talk.
The Warriors struggling right now. Suns have opened up a 3-game lead on Golden State. I love it. I love it.
Yep, a little bit. Devin Booker, Western Conference Player of the Week. There's a lot of good to talk about with the Suns, and that's coming up at 3 o'clock. People who are watching the game, but we're still on the Cardinals, and we're going to be a lot on the Cardinals for many, many days coming up because of so much to unpack here. Over the course of that game on Monday night, a lot of people noticed early on, at least on social media, where's Isaiah Simmons? Where's Isaiah Simmons? How come Simmons isn't on the field? And I caught myself kind of doing the same thing early in that game, like scanning the field looking for number 9. Where is he? Why, you know, is he out there? Is he not? I wasn't expecting that to happen. I know there was a situation last week where he wasn't at practice one day and there was some worry, and you had said, don't worry, it's not what you think it is, it's not an injury, it's not COVID, it's not this or that. He didn't play that much though, and one of the kind of hidden leftovers to that game Monday is the snap counts of the last two first-round picks by the Arizona Cardinals. Zaven Collins was on the field for 8 defensive snaps. Isaiah Simmons was on the field for 19 defensive snaps. Combined, they weren't on the field as much as Tanner Vallejo was. He had 38 defensive snaps wow. in that game.
Yeah, your last two draft picks. I mean, you look at Dallas with Micah Parsons and how impactful he was, and you're hoping that, listen, they drafted two linebackers in the first round that have all the talent in the world. One is a run stuffer with all the physical attributes and go sideline to sideline. Another is a versatile freak who could rush the passer, could cover tight ends and running backs and spy on a quarterback, and at times can play corner for you if need be. I mean, it all looks good and sounds good, but the development has been slow. I mean, Jordan Hicks was playing over Zaven Collins. I mean, that's not even a guy that they really liked that much, but he knows the system and he knows how to call out the plays, and that was important to Vance Joseph. You would think that next year it's okay, time to take the training wheels off. Like, we're not bringing back Jordan Hicks. You got to play, okay? We're not signing a linebacker to big money. You got to play. So I would think that, I would think next year the training wheels comes off, and they've talked about, another training camp, and maybe for these guys that's what it is. It's just more time. Certain guys come in right away and make an impact. Again, Micah Parsons is one of the best damn players in the league at his position this year.
Yeah, the Zaven Collins one, I'm not ready to push any kind of panic button or be concerned about that very much, only in the sense that, yeah, would you have liked to have drafted a guy who would have played a little bit more his rookie year? Sure. But I'll give him a year to develop, and I'll give him a year to grow, and I'll give him a year to kind of learn this new position. You know me. I thought it was absurd from the word go that the Cardinals were willing to give him that starting job before he put a single pad on. I thought that was ridiculous. I thought that was completely misplaced. It never made any sense. And I was glad to see over the course of the season that the meritocracy of an NFL roster kind of took place and said, yeah, no, in fact, Jordan Hicks is actually better than you, and Jordan Hicks is going to be the one who plays. The one I'm a little worried about is Isaiah Simmons. That drop in snaps for him on the Monday night game was steep, and it was surprising, and it was not what we're accustomed to seeing out of him over the course of this season. And I understand what the Cardinals' plan was in drafting both of those guys when they did. They were looking for their own kind of Devin White, Lavonte David, just incredible studs in the middle of your linebacking core. But in the most important game of the season, one of them played 19 snaps and one of them played 8 snaps. It creates this narrative of, let's hope next year that the training wheels can come off and that they're ready to go, because if they're not, then we start talking about first-round draft picks that you might have missed on if you're the Cardinals.
But there are things that stood out about Isaiah Simmons that make you believe that he's good. First Cardinal defender with 100-plus tackles and 4 forced fumbles in a season since Tim McDonald in 1988. Now, I know stats aren't the be-all, end-all, right? But he has a guy that forced 4 fumbles, had over 100 tackles. Like, I think he's good. I think he's a good player. I think that they rely very much on veteran leadership. They like veterans. They trust veterans more than they trust younger players, especially Vance Joseph. And maybe that's why Zaven didn't get a lot of run. Maybe that's why Isaiah didn't get a lot of run. It's very likely that that's why. But I think Isaiah's a really good football player. And I think Zaven's going to be good. It's just I do understand what you're saying. It kind of sucks that you're at a point right now where those guys should have been more impactful than they weren't.
Yep. And given the track record of this general manager when it comes to first-round draft picks, I think people have a right to be concerned. People have a right to wonder, again, with a little more wiggle room towards Zaven Collins, why a player who in some statistical measures was as impactful as Isaiah Simmons was this year, why was he only on the field for 19 snaps in the most important game of the year? It's a question that's just going to kind of hang, and it's going to kind of linger. You can text us your thoughts to the FanDuel text line. Text us at 620-620 right now. We get a chance, we'll read the best ones on the air when we come back. It's been a while since we've gone deep on the Phoenix Suns, but they're the best team in the NBA, and they deserve to have some good conversation. So we're going to bring it right now, the Arizona Sports Round Ball Roundtable. Our own Kellen Olson joining us in studio next here on the Burns and Gambo Show.